to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn with thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing Robin Sullivan. Robin is the founder of small press publisher Rydan Publishing. She is also a publicist for her husband and best-selling author Michael Sullivan and public speaker on all things publishing. So welcome, Robin.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show because I've been listening to you and reading your posts for a while now. Thank you. And why don't you start off by telling us a bit about what you're up to at the moment in the self-publishing space?
Sure. Christmas is coming up, so we have a number of titles that we're frantically trying to get out in time for that. We just recently signed A.C. Crispin's Starbridge series. That was our most recent acquisition, and we've gone through the first four of those books, and we'll be putting out all seven. We also have the fourth book by Nathan Lowell that will be coming out. That's called Full Share. And I have a new book by our juvenile author, Todd Finesca, who is got a series called Time Cavern. And then we have a new debut author who's coming out, and he should be out in another 3 weeks as well.
Wow. You're extremely busy. And also I hear you're doing something across the pond over here in the UK.
Yes. So my husband, my husband was originally published with Rydan, and now he's signed a contract with Big Six Publishing Hachette through Orbit, which is their fantasy division. And his book, Theft of Swords, just was released. Today is the release date in England and over in Europe. And the U.S. release will be in another 20 days on the 23rd.
Fantastic. Right, well, you have a lot going on with Rydan, and it's, you know, it's pretty exciting. But your primary job also seems to be around marketing, and you
Yes.
have a massive experience of what works. So I wanted to ask you, at this point in the wild ride that is self-publishing, what would you say are the most effective marketing techniques? And let's just maybe just pick the top two.
Sure. So there's a couple things. Rydan itself, being a publisher, there's a lot of cachet we get because we have multiple authors, and we get a lot of cross-sell between them because Rydan's very particular about who we choose, and because of that, we get a lot of people who do that. If you're on your own and you're starting off and you're self-publishing, I kind of harken back to my days of working with my husband, which is where this whole thing started. And the two biggest and most successful things I did there was, number one, book bloggers, and number two, a site called Goodreads.com, which is an absolutely fabulous site to be involved with. The trick with book bloggers is, you know, a lot of people just kind of fire off an email and they say, you know, hey, my name is Michael Sullivan. I got this new book, Theft of Swords. Maybe you'd like to look at it. And I think that's just, they get so many of those, they're not very compelling. Mm. So what I suggest on my blog when I talk about this is authors should really present themselves as professionally as possible and actually create a little mini ad when they contact a book blogger. So there should be a picture of the book. There should be a headline. For my husband's book, the headline was, they killed the king, they pinned it on two men, they chose poorly. And then I start off with what would typically be the back of the book blurb, again, trying to hook someone in. Mm-hmm. So you'd use something like, again, on his book, it was, there's no ancient evil to defeat or orphan destined for greatness, just two guys in the wrong place at the wrong time. So if you present it that way and have some other quotes and present it as an ad, it just comes off far more professionally. And book bloggers are very busy, but when they see stuff like that come through, it immediately piques their interest, and then they get it to the top of the queue very quickly. Mm. As far as Goodreads, oh my God, I could spend hours talking about Goodreads. There's so much just great stuff out there. The things that I would recommend most about those is really to partake of their giveaway program. They have a program where you can offer your books up for free giveaways. And, you know, a lot of authors will start off by saying, oh yeah, giveaways are good and I'll do it on my site. But the reality is you don't have enough traffic on your site to really generate any buzz.
Yeah.
Put something out to Goodreads, and again, you come up with a very good explanation of the book. you know, you'll get hundreds, sometimes thousands. I think for one of my book promotions, we had like 1,600 people sign up for the giveaway. And the really nice thing about that is they've all kind of raised their hands, and you can click through and send them a message and say, you know, hey, you know, thanks for your interest in my book. Oh, by the way, here's a link where you can go read a sample chapter. I hope you win. You know, and you can, and you know, these are people who have already raised their hands to saying they're interested in your book. So, you know, it gives you a great opportunity and a great foot in the door to kind of give them some other ways of finding out more about the book.
Wow. And I might come back on Goodreads, but I'm just going to ask you about that, because the last giveaway I did have nearly 1,000 people, and it did not even cross my mind that I should or could email them all directly. So, but you obviously, you sell a lot of different books. You've got, you know, I don't know, a lot now, and a lot of authors. Are you still doing this almost individual hand selling on the internet?
So when we started, it was very much hand selling. And what I generally do, Ryden has, I gotta think now, we have like 14 authors. And what I would do is kind of pick an author for any particular period of time. Like I used to, like many people in publishing, I used to have a day job. And in April of this year, between the money that my husband was making and the money that Ryden was bringing in, I was able to quit my day job and devote it completely to publishing. So I said, okay, well, the first person I'm going to kind of devote some attention to is Marshall Thomas. So I did a lot of concentrated marketing on him. The idea is once you get the pump primed and it starts running on its own, then I can bring my focus over to someone else. Marshall, God love him, you know, when he started off with Ryden, he wasn't that great of a seller. I mean, he would sell, you know, maybe a couple hundred books a month. And so, and I said, well, you know, let me see if I can apply some of the techniques I use with my husband to these other authors to see if they'll be successful. And so mid-April, I started promoting him, a lot of that handwork that we were talking about. And in May, he sold 17,500 copies across 6 titles. So that was pretty exciting. The next month over, now that I had Marshall running, I had a new release out by Nathan Lowell. So he was my primary focus. And in the hottest new releases in science fiction, he was number 2. He was only behind George R. R. Martin's Dance with Dragons, which I'm still not sure why it was in the science fiction category, but it was. But he was number 2 in that, and he sold like 3,600 books in the first 2 weeks of release. So, yeah, you know, you kind of have to give kind of that individual attention, but then once the ball starts rolling, you can go on and focus to somewhere else. And then overlaid on all of that is kind of what I'll call just generalized write-in marketing, which is rising all boats. So I'll do a lot of things with, you know, people who have bought books from us before. When a new title comes out, I'll email them about it because they really know that, you know, writing's very picky about who we choose. So we can do a lot of, you know, rising all the boats with, you know, with one tide by cross-selling between our authors.
No, that's marvelous. And I guess I am interested. I mean, you're famously, I think, now known as sort of a six-figure self-publisher, you know, which is quite exciting for everybody. And also you talk about launch figures there. But yes. I'm also interested in the longer-term sales for a book.
Yes.
So obviously we can spike at the launch. But what what are some of your tips for keeping sales going? So, for example, I'm now 8 months after launch, still ranking. But, you know, what are some of the things that you recommend for that?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we've had these spiked numbers. And in most cases, they didn't actually coincide with launch. Like if you look at like Leslie Ann Moore. Now, Leslie Ann Moore, her big numbers was in June or July, and she sold 5,500 copies there. And I tried like everything with Leslie. I tried doing like, you know, the first book at 99 cents, which happened to be pretty successful with Marshall Thomas's, and that did nothing. I had tried going to the book bloggers, and I was having a lot of resistance with them. A lot of times, you know, you got to just keep trying till something works. And with hers, one of the things was she has a romance fantasy, fantasy with a romance element. But the protagonist is kind of a younger girl. And I really kind of thought that it would do better in a YA market. So we actually did some editing on the books and released a YA version. We took out some of the more explicit sex scenes and kind of toned it down a little bit. And then we used that as a leverage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't... I think every book will have kind of its one big spike. The best thing you can do as an author to ensure kind of that ongoing sales is obviously put out more books. Mm-hmm. It used to be in the old days, I kind of said a book every 6 months was kind of the right pacing to kind of reinvigorate your sales with each subsequent release. Now I'm actually shortening that. I say 4 months is kind of more ideal because books start falling off of those tops of the list right around about 4 months. And so when you have that new book coming out, it almost always will put tremendous pressure on the backlist, particularly if you're writing in a series, and that will keep it going. I think the important thing is just to keep at it. You know, we do get, like, Michael's book, Theft of Swords, is coming out, so we have a blog tour, and yeah, there are a lot of guest posts and reviews and things going out now. But I've also scheduled things further out. You know, you don't want there just to be kind of this flurry of activity and then a drop off the face of the map. His self-published book, I'm just trying to think which one it was recently. It was Emerald Storm. It just got reviewed by a book blogger, you know, like a month ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that book had been out for over a year. So, you know, there's nothing that says that you can't introduce your books to your book bloggers, you know, even after it's been post-release. The only doing it at release is kind of a byproduct of big press publishing. They have a very small window of time where they do all the push and then it's kind of on to the next book. One of the advantages with small presses, and one of the reasons why I recommend small presses, is small presses have a much greater tolerance for a slow build. And when I'm looking at titles and authors, I would much rather have a book that takes a while to ramp up and keep them in my catalog for a longer period of time than kind of just trading out the old for the new, you know, really quickly, which is very indicative of big press publishing.
Mm. So let's just explore that a bit more. You know, firstly, you say you're very picky about the authors you choose.
Yeah.
If people are interested in either, you know, being one of your authors or being an author for a small press, what are you looking for in an author and a book? And obviously, let's not talk about genre. Let's talk, you know, sure, bigger than that. What do you want authors to be these days?
Yeah. So, you know, it's weird because when you go out and you talk to publishing, you know, I go to a lot of conferences on publishing and I listen to kind of what the industry is saying. And I don't always follow what the industry is doing, for good, bad, or indifferent. So I'll answer that two ways. I'll tell you what I've heard in the industry and then I'll tell you about me personally because I might be a little bit different. Right now, any symposium you go on publishing, it's all about platform. You know, they want to know what your audience is, you know, how many people you have on Facebook, how many, you know, Twitter followers you have, you know, what's your blog, how many people's on it. And in the entire history of writing, really, there was only one person that I ever really, you know, kind of looked at that and went, wow, that's pretty exciting. That was a gentleman by the name of Nathan Lowell.
Yeah. I know of him. I know of his podcasts.
Oh, right. Yeah. Fabulous podcasting. Mm. And in fact, it was an intern at Writing who had found Nathan. And, you know, so having some of those credentials, when someone comes to me and they have some of those credentials, I'm like, okay, that's a little cherry on the top. You know, that's kind of a nice little thing. But for me, it is always, always, always about the story in the book. If I read the book and I love the book, that's what it takes. And I don't care if you have, you know, one follower and it's your mother, if you've written a very good book, because mm-hmm. I know I can spin that into something, you know, really good. It's funny because, you know, a lot of people, you know, kind of assume with the numbers we're pulling in that my authors are very, very active in social media. The fact of the matter is outside of Nathan, most of them, well, and Michael somewhat, you know, they have some social marketing aspects. But like Marshall Thomas, who has sold, you know, his top selling month was 20,000 books. He has no blog. He's never tweeted. He doesn't have a Facebook page. I mean, you know, he doesn't do any of that. So it's Ryden who's carrying the marketing efforts for someone like him. So, you know, having a really good book is essential. I personally like series. You know, again, I was on some blog somewhere. Oh no, it was actually it was at the Baltimore Book Festival, and some of these veterans were saying, you know, one of the mistakes authors do is they write in a series because, you know, they're afraid that they'll, you know, won't be able to get the first one sold, and then they just kind of waste a lot of time. But for someone like Ryden, and especially the small publishers that, again, are interested in this long tail, series are great. Series is what we're looking for because we can always use that to spur those previous books. So, you know, I think you know, if you can, and the other thing is, you know, I'm not terribly concerned about grammar. You know, like if you don't know where to put a comma, or if you have some grammatical errors, I mean, those are things that are easily corrected in editing. Mm-hmm. But you can't really teach someone to be a storyteller. And that's kind of the common thread through all the writing authors, is they are really, really, really strong storytellers. And yeah, they might need some help with plotting, or they might need some help in the editing process. But if they have a good story to tell, they can create great characters. That's the only thing that's going to make a book successful.
Mm. But I guess we have to acknowledge that, as you know, you're like a marketing dynamo for your authors. Yeah. And if authors don't have somebody like you, if they're with a small press house that wants a platform or a big publisher, yes, they are expected to do this, aren't they? It's not for not everybody acts like you do with their right. small press company.
Right. Well, and for those people who are involved in social networking, I talk a lot about this on my blog. I think the biggest mistake that authors make is they don't understand the very root of social networking. And, you know, there's two very important words there. There's social, which means interacting with people, and there's networking, which is connecting. So a lot of people, you know, will get very excited, and they'll go out on platforms. This is particularly problematic on a site like Goodreads. And they're just, you know, buy my book, look at me, buy my book, look at me. The way you really make those avenues work for you is to turn it around and be a very participatory person in the industry. I do a lot of research for Ryden. I'm always on top of what's hot on the top 10 lists of Amazon, and you know what the new trends in publishing are. And I blog about those right away, and I put those out to the world so that people are informed and know about them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people say to me, they say, well, you know, wow, that takes a lot of time. You know, why do that type of stuff? What benefit is to you? Well, the benefit is to me is I'm a very good participatory member of my community, and you know, what goes around comes around. Mm-hmm. And so when you are very, you know, people like to do business with people that they like to do business with. On my website, there's a talk by a guy by the name of Simon Sinek, and this was actually one of my blog responders who turned me on to Simon. And mm-hmm. Simon is a genius. And if you ever get a chance, go on my blog, look under the video area, and listen to Simon Sinek talk about his biggest speech relates to how people talk about their businesses. And what he was saying is that most businesses talk about, you know, what they have and how they do it, and then you should buy it. And he's saying you should actually go at it the other way. You should look at it inside out. You should talk about, you know, why you're in the business that you are. And mm-hmm. I am passionate, just totally passionate about getting decent money for authors, because this industry has typically not been one where you can make money at its number one. And number two, you know, I have such a soft spot in my heart for authors, obviously being married to one, because they pour so much into their work, and they, you know, they're the types of people that, you know, they'll work a 10-hour day and they'll come home and they'll get on the computer and they'll work till 3 a.m. and they'll sleep 2 hours and go back to work. You know, you can't stop them from writing. It's just something that oozes out of them, and they have such a passion. And that type of enthusiasm really needs to be rewarded, and I really want to do everything I can to kind of plant those seeds and help them grow. There is nothing that gives me more excitement than seeing one of my authors sell, you know, 5,000 books a month, 10,000 books a month. I mean, that, you know, that just makes it all worthwhile.
And that, I think that excites all of us.
Yes.
Yeah, let's get into that some more, because like you said, you know, as we have said, you're the six-figure, you know, publishing house, yep, and self-published self-publishing and also for small press. And you've done a lot of playing with price points.
Yes.
And as you've just said, you want authors to get paid. Last week, Seth Godin, you know, marketing genius, comes out with the $1.99 as a go-forward price point for ebooks. Right. So what do you think about pricing and for authors with just one book versus lots of books?
So the first thing I'll say is if you only have one book, I'm just going to put it right out there. You're just not going to make a lot of money. You just won't. It's not enough. You know, the whole trick in this business is to really have a sustainable income. You do have to have, John Locke said that, you know, his books are little ambassadors. So every time he puts out a book, they're like a little selling machine that goes out and sells for him. So, you know, with very few exceptions, one book is going to be very, very difficult for you. And you know, God forbid that I should go against Seth Godin, because, you know, he's obviously knows a lot about marketing, but personally in the ebook space, I think $1.99 is probably the worst possible price that you can put a book at. And the reason for that is, on Amazon, the way the pricing structure works is if you're under $2.99, you get 35% of royalty, and above $2.99 to $9.99, you can get 70% of the royalty. And the lowest you can go down is 99 cents, unless you play some tricks and get it for free, which is something that we cannot get into. But at 99 cents, you know, is an impulse buy, and so a lot of people buy those. And quite frankly, a lot of people just kind of collect those like pebbles on the beach, and they never actually read them. $1.99 kind of takes it off the impulse buy, but you're still at the lower royalty rate. So, you know, what you hear most often in this business is, oh, I'm a new author, you know, I'm going to put my first book at 99 cents and I'm going to put my second book at $2.99. I'm one of the few people who really buck those numbers. If you look at the Ryden's figures and so forth, we price our books at $4.95. Typically is the standard price for our books. We sometimes will do a promotion and, but, you know, I actually found, and this just completely floored me, when I said the $4.95, it was before I was very active in the self-publishing community and kind of heard what they're talking about. And, in fact, I didn't even know who Joe Conrath was. So, you know, I looked at the books being put out by large presses, and they were all $6.99 to, like, $9.99. I said, okay, well, you know, I want my books to be a deal, so so I want them to be cheaper than that, but I didn't want to take them down, you know, to nothing. So I said, well, you know, just under $5 sounds about right for me. You know, you can go out and get, you know, a coffee and a bagel, and it costs you about $5, and that should be, you know, a good price point. So that's how I came across that, and I've stuck to that price point pretty religiously. My husband's fifth book, Wintertide, I actually kind of took a chance, and I said, well, you know, what the heck, you know, we've been doing, you know, $4.95 for years, it's five books in the series, I'm going to bump that up to $6.95, which is the price of what I would consider, like, you know, a real publisher. And, you know, I did not have not one complaint at all. I didn't have one person saying, oh my God, you're trying to gouge us now that we're deep in the series. I didn't hear anyone saying, you know, why is the price higher? I mean, nothing. And in fact, I get emails after emails after emails of people saying, thank you for pricing your books so cost effectively. I think the $99 and the $2.99 is really almost, it shows lack of confidence in your writing. I think the $4.95, $4.99 price point is a great price point. I think a lot of people can make decent money on that. I think it's good for the author. I think it's good for the reader. It shows value in the book. One of the experiments I did was, after being inundated with someone telling me for so long, oh no, $2.99 is the price point, or 99 cents is the price point, I actually lowered the price point of my husband's books. Or the first one, to kind of use that as enticement. And not only did I lose money, which you would expect because you're getting a lower amount, but I lost sales. I was actually selling less per day. I was selling like 50 books less a day at $2.99 than I was selling at $4.95. So I was like, whoa, you know, this doesn't work. But all that being said, I will say this. The secret to pricing your book is really to experiment and to realize that it may not always be the same. You know, maybe you're at one price point for a while and then you lower it for a month as a special promotion. The important thing is to track your results. And this is my other little pet peeve. You know, when your sales are really low, your statistics mean nothing. There's a great forum. I love everyone there. It's called the Writer's Cafe at Kindle's Board. And I'll be on there and someone will make a post like, oh, you know, I lowered my price point and I doubled my sales. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, let me look in. They said, yeah, you know, I went from 6 sales a month to 12 sales a month. I'm like, you know, that's like, that's within the realm of statistical, you know,
anomaly.
Error, you know, don't talk to me about some significant changes in your sales unless you're at least over 100. And usually, you know, it's for the people who are selling 1,000 books a month. If you're selling 1,000 books a month and you do something to your sales that make them go to 2,000, yeah, I really want to hear about that and I really want to listen. You know, a good example is like right now we are doing a special with Nathan Lowell's book. And what we did is we got involved in an Amazon program. A while ago, there was something called the Sunshine Deals. I don't know if you guys heard about them over in England, but they were big in the U.S. where some of the smaller publishers got a whole bunch of their books out at a lower price. Well, right now, there's this Amazon's got the top 100. It's got 100 books for $3.99 or less. And Nathan's book that's usually at $4.95, I put him in the program for $1.99. And and it's only for the month of November, and it's featured prominently on the page, so, you know, he's getting a lot more exposure. You know, we're kind of behind on getting his fourth book out, so his books have been kind of slowly climbing up the ranking. And he was hitting around 7,000, which is pretty high, actually, for Nathan. He's usually much lower. But as soon as that promotion went out, you know, that went from 7,000, and then when I looked today, it was at 560-ish. You know, so in just a couple of days, you know, he's gained, you know, a huge amount of books. So, you know, it's worth doing that on occasion. And like I said, track it and, you know, adjust because the market's always changing, you know, and how I might price at Christmas time might be how I price differently in, you know, in the summer and things of that nature.
Yeah, and no, and of course I only have one book at the moment, but I do have another one coming out in my
get it going.
But no, it's interesting because I went with the 99 cents, you know, being an unknown author, and you know, thought that would be good. But I have played with the 2.99. I've just gone back up to 2.99, and I'll see what happens with that. But I did find a few months ago when I put it up to 2.99, my ranking dropped below. You know, I fell out of the action adventure charts and started.
Sure.
Going down. So I and for me, I'm really quite interested in ranking versus income at the moment.
Yes.
Because it's not my income, it's not meant to be my sole income.
Sure.
So what do you think? I mean, obviously, is it better to be ranking in some category in Amazon or making more income for a long-term career move?
Yeah, so you know, again, and this is going to sound a little bit maybe odd, but all I can do is say what I, you know, what I think. You know, when you have one book, I wouldn't get like too wrapped up into what your ranking or your sales is because, you know, you can't, you need other books to be building off of. Mm. You know, my suggestion to someone who has one book out there is I don't think your sales are going to be like rocketing one way or another, you know, again, with very few exceptions, you know, Victorine Litsky comes to mind where she was selling, you know, tens and tens of thousands of books at 99 cents. And, and, you know, like if you're up in the, you know, top 100 of Amazon, okay, completely different, you know, completely different aspect. I'm going to talk totally different to you than that. But, you know, if you're like in the, you know, let's say, certainly, you know, north of 1,000, or north of even 10,000. You know what I would recommend? I would recommend put your book at $4.95 because you're really not making much difference anyways, but you're establishing that as a credible price for you. Work like, you know, put all your energy into your next book. Don't worry about marking that book at all. Don't worry about the fact that you've fallen off or anything because reality is, again, it's all about, you know, think about of this rolling, you know, a boulder up a hill. And, you know, if you have just one book, you're going to put a lot of energy into rolling that boulder. And because there's nothing else for them to follow up on, it's just going to roll back right over you. So, you know, I would say that until you get three books out. Three is kind of the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forget it's even there. Just pretend like it, you know, kind of went out to, you know, the slush pile of an agency and it's just out there and you're just waiting for it to be discovered. And if some residual income comes in, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. Fine. But if you can devote, you know, whatever time you've been spent on marketing that one book over to the writing to get those other books out, then really put a push on. I think it would be a much better use of your time. Personally, that's my personal opinion.
No, very good. Thank you for that. And I struggle, obviously, because I have another business and my fiction is just one little bit. So, no, that's excellent advice. Okay, so, we're running out of time. So how about you tell us where people can find you and find Rydam Publishing?
Sure. So the site for my publishing company is www.rydanpublishing.com. It's really easy to remember because it's the word nadir backwards. Nadir is the lowest part, the point, the point of full depression. So I wanted to make it be the antithesis of that. I also have a blog, which thank you for telling me that you read my blog. I'm always amazed when I meet people. I was just at World Fantasy Con. I'm sitting around this table of, you know, very, very famous writers. K.W. Jeter, who is, you know, the father of steampunk, and Michael Stackpole, who is, you know, multiple New York Times bestseller. And, you know, they're telling me they read my blog, and I'm like, wow, you know, I had no idea. But my blog is really great for writers because what I concentrate on is tips for marketing. I also talk a lot about the changing landscape of publishing and what's kind of going on in the publishing realm that people need to be aware of. And I've said this before on my blog, and I'm going to say it again because a lot of people don't hear, you know, what I'm saying. But, you know, there are three, you know, in the old days, Big Six Publishing was the only way to go about publishing. And now there really are three very viable ways. You know, you have your Big Six, and, you know, my husband just shifted over to that, and there's reasons for being involved with that, and that's all fine and good. Small presses like Rydan, as you mentioned, our authors are making incredible sums of money. I'm very, very pleased about that. We were at Balticon, and we had this room full of people, and we're talking about, you know, people were talking about, you know, Big Six Publishing versus Small Press Publishing. And Nathan was on the panel and he says, you know, I can't afford to have my book published through a Big Six publisher. I'm making too much money with a small press. So, you know, in the old days, small presses really didn't make anything. I mean, if you got $200 or $300 out of a small press, you kind of like were successful. That's not the case nowadays. So small press publishings are making good money. And never before has self-publishing been you know, a viable alternative, you know, and I still can't believe that people don't get why that is. And I was at I was in New York at a seminar as part of the Book Expo in America, and there was a person on the panel from a very large publishing house, and she says, "Well, you know, self-publishing has been around forever, so, you know, I don't know why anyone's making such a big stink about this. You know, it's just like nothing new. It's not a threat to us. You know, it's always been around." And I raised my hand and I stood up. I said, what's changed is there's distribution now. You know, in the old days, you could self-publish, but how the heck did you sell it? You couldn't get into bookstores. Mm-hmm. There was no internet. There was no way to distribute it. You know, for the first time, we have, you know, avenues that are available for distribution. And without distribution, your product is dead. So yeah, self-publishing has been around a long time, but hey, it's all about distribution, stupid. So, you know, that's really opening up some opportunities that never existed in the past.
No, and I am as passionate as you are about this whole new market. So thank you, Robin. Thanks ever so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!